You've had plenty of break time. Let's go ahead and get in the Word. You may be seated. Thank you for coming out today. We are taking this fivefold conference. Is this our fourth one? Fourth or fifth one? To celebrate 25 years of Grace Ministries. And it's been fun to, mostly fun, to reminisce some of the stories we've gone through in the past, some of the things we've experienced. We're also taking time just to reflect upon the contribution of Lee Fields into this ministry, Pastor Lee, and our deep appreciation for our friendship with him. And I've been seeking God about what to minister in this message, and I told everybody, let's talk about stories about the 25 years, what we've gone through. And I'm going to attempt to do that, but my first verse that I was going to start on today, I was going to read one verse out of Job chapter 28. You can turn to Job 28. As I read that one verse and I kept reading, it reminded me a lot about Lee's life. So I want to take just a minute or two and read through this portion of this chapter, because it talks about what is necessary to stay on the path with God. God's got a high calling for each of us, right? How many know Ephesians 4 says there's one hope of his calling? God's got a path for all of us, whether in ministry or not in ministry. But there's a price to pay to stay on that path. There's a necessity you obey God to stay fully moving forward on that path. And I believe Lee did that. Amen. I believe we're all doing that as we're staying hooked up to Jesus. Verse 7, chapter 28 of Job. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye has not seen. The fowls represent the demonic powers, right? God's got a high path for us to walk on that the enemy doesn't know about. He can't access it, but he would try to keep us away from it. Amen? It says, the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. The devil can't touch this area that God's calling us to. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out the rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth light. God is moving behind the scenes to get our path ready. He's aligning things in the world right now to take us into this calling. We can't dream of how phenomenal it's going to be. Verse 12, but there shall be wisdom. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. In other words, the natural realm can't declare to us where God's going to take us. It doesn't know where we're going. But God knows where we're going, and we must be led of the Spirit to get there. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or a fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Now let me stop right there for a minute. The path God has got us on is a path more glorious than money could ever purchase for us. But I'm telling you, to walk on the path is going to cost you something. It may cost you having to reject a natural source of finances. It may cost you, like many of us did, to resign well-paying jobs to follow God. It may cause you to go full-time in the ministry like Pastor Lee did and choose the path of God above what the world could offer. I've been in this long enough to know if you're called of God to whatever it is, the enemy's going to try to buy you out. Amen? You've got to know the path of God is above anything that the wealth of the world can offer. It says, the topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Again, I believe those that are moving ahead into the glory in these end times, whether in this ministry or not, are there because they chose not to sell out. They chose not to be offended. They chose not to take a secondary path because it looked like there were less battles. Those that are going forth into the glory of God have chosen, if it's God's will, I don't care what battles lie before me, I'm going. But knowing once we get there, the reward will exceed anything we've ever gone through. Now, I don't know about the thing about the woman giving birth, whether she remembers the pain anymore, but I'm amazed that Grace Dunton is really willing to do it a sixth time. Or anybody that have gone through it. But we've got to recognize on the side, other side of every battle, there's another promotion into the glory of God. And for 25 years, we've not been without battles. We've not been without some disappointments. But I'm telling you, God's got a place for us to go that the enemy can't touch us. Amen? And Pastor Lee chose this path. He chose to go all in for God, no matter what the cost. Amen? He fought to the end. Thank you, Jesus. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. In other words, God's got something only the wisdom of God can take us into. God's got a path for us to follow. Amen? And I'm of the opinion, you cannot fully stay on the path unless you stay in connection with God every day. Because every day there'll be something trying to distract you off of it that you got to make sure, I don't lose the leading of the Spirit in my life. I'll get to that in just a minute. Destruction and death saith, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way of thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he maketh a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it, and he prepared it, yea, and searched it out. God knows where we're going. You know, one of the verses of Scripture that always amazes me is Jesus, after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he passed every test by the Word of God. God didn't lead him there to be defeated or to be humbled. He led him there to demonstrate Jesus' superiority over the devil's best. And I believe God's got a path for us. You may feel like you've gone through some battles. And I believe God led us to many of these places. But I'm telling you, it wasn't to lose. It wasn't to be humbled. It was to demonstrate no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every effort of the enemy has got to fail if we follow through with our leading by God. And I would not trade any position in the world. I would not trade for any position in the world for what God's birthed in us through 25 years of training of this ministry. Amen? It may be that men have greater wealth, and I don't have to look very far to see that in the natural. They may have greater wisdom, higher positions. But if we can see in the Spirit the angels that surround us, if we can see the authority God's placed with on us to open blind eyes and raise the dead, I would not exchange that for anything. What man through his wealth can do what we saw Pastor Jim do in Ghana last week? We went to Pastor Wayo's church, and I would say at least 24 people came up for healing. Everyone went back healed. Pain-free. What does the world have to offer that would purchase that for us? And we're just scratching on the surface where God wants to take us. Amen? And I believe Pastor Lee chose that path. I know we did. We all know we did, right? Psalm 142. Is this okay with you? Well, it's the only notes I have, so it better be. Psalm 142, Verse 3 says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, there thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have thy privily laid a snare for me. God knows the enemy is going to lay snares before you. But I'm convinced if you'll follow God, He will direct you around the snares or give you wisdom to step over them. And God's raising up an end-time church, an end-time generation that know the slightest leading of the Spirit, that the enemy can't trap them in any fashion. I'm glad to be part of that people. How about you? And what great things He's going to do through us individually and as a ministry. You know, we're going to show a clip tonight. I kind of let the cat out of the bag there of some of the vision for Grace Ministries. And the vision's never changed. Pastor Sherry mentioned this morning God showed her preaching before thousands. Showed Pastor Jim the same thing. He never showed me that. In fact, I've mentioned it before. It would have been probably 1992 when we were first formed that Pastor Callahan went to the Lord and he said, you show me what you've got for Pastor Jim and others, but you've never shown what you have for Jack. What is it? And God wouldn't tell him. He just said, I've got great things for Jack. I wasn't Pastor Jack yet. And because I believe God wouldn't tell me, because He knew if He told me, I'd try to go do it myself. So all He did was show me a water tower, the same one straight out those doors, opened up, and inside was the City of Glory. And God, no, I couldn't do that myself. He can show me that much of it. But God's shown us great visions. Pastor Callan has seen the multitudes coming in to the revival. And those visions are still on track. You follow me? But He's got to prepare a people ready and able to carry that authority and that anointing to do it. And if I look back at our 25 years and I look at our accomplishments, there's been some things that we might list on a list that we weren't really thrilled about the accomplishment. Some things have gone up, some things have gone down. I was convinced, now me personally, I was convinced when we formed as a ministry, within at least 2 months, we'd be running 10,000 people. Did you have the same feeling? I was convinced we'd be running in at least 10,000. And here we are many years later. My church isn't there yet. I don't know of any churches there yet in our ministry to 10,000. And I thought, surely I'd be at 1,000 by now after 16 years as a church. But you can't look and reflect on the number of people. You reflect on the maturity of the people. What's God done on the inside? You know, I've had the opportunity many years to do a lot of different construction type stuff. And I found out that you can't build a whole lot of stuff when babies are your contractors. You know, you're going to try to build something and you're telling the four-year-olds, you guys go get those two befores and put those there. And, you know, you just can't trust the five-year-olds with a skill saw. And you can't build anything. And you can have a thousand babies and still not know build a thing. But you have a handful of people that are skilled. You can do some impressive things. And God told Moses, I want you to get Bezalel. He's skilled in all these things. He can build my tabernacle. God's raising up among us skilled people. When I was younger, I was the oldest of all of my cousins on both sides. I was the oldest of cousins on my dad's side and my mother's side. And when we go any place, especially my grandfather's, I say, I'm going fishing. And a handful of cousins 10 years younger than me and below would say, we want to go too. And so we'd go down to the pond. We'd all have our little stick poles or maybe one or two rod and reels. And we'd go down there to fish. You know what I did the whole time? I might have 8 kids with me. All I did was bait hooks and take fish off. Keep kids from falling into the pond. I never got to do anything to fish myself as long as I was surrounded by little children. And I'm telling you, we're not surrounded with little children anymore. God's building up a powerful ministry, I believe, to change the world. Last week in Africa, 4 years ago, I'd gone to Ghana the first time at Pastor Callan's instruction, his request, which my command. And we had a very good time, very productive time. But as I was praying, God gave me some things to write down. And I wrote down, I want to, in the future in Ghana, have a word rally where pastors gather in the morning, they're instructed from all around, and at night we have full-blown services. This last week, we got to see that happen. In fact, I said in November. I want it to happen in November. This last week, we saw something around 60 to 80 pastors and apostles come in that we could impart the word to. And it wasn't based on how large we were. You follow me? It was based on what God's placed within us. You don't have to have a giant ministry to have an impact in a region. You don't have to have a ministry yourself or a giant company to have an impact in your life. God's maturing us. He's got us on a path to perfect us. Too many times we get concerned about where we're going and not as much concerned about what God's doing within us to get us ready to go to the next step. And I'm telling you, this ministry is ready to go to the next step. Like I've never seen it. And there's been some weeding out, but there's been a whole lot of promotion. And as I've got a list, and I won't have time to go through it today. But a couple years ago, I was reflecting on critical decisions I've made to keep me on the path. Because a lot of things will try to get you off the path. I mean, the little foxes will try to get you off the path. You'll see fires to the side, sellouts, Ishmaels. What's going to try to get you off the path? And I personally believe I'm in God's perfect will right now. I believe God knew all along He wanted me at Grace Fellowship of Georgetown. I know without a doubt He wanted me under Apostle Ron Callahan. You follow me? And I don't question a whole lot He wanted me associated with Pastor Jim. He's next. I better be careful. I know that I know I'm in His perfect will. But I made the list. I've probably had 100 opportunities to take a side path. Do you follow me? Oh, this looks like a good opportunity. Let's go over there. And inside something said, no, that's not on the path. Or maybe you should compromise your integrity because you could have this. No, that's not on the path. And I've got listed a whole page of things I chose to do, decisions I made, I believe to get me where I am today and keep me on the path to get here. And a lot of those were critical decisions that were make or break. What are you going to do? Are you going to go somewhere else? Now, I'm not like Pastor Sherry that ever chewed out the apostle. Amen. I have never in 30 years with you, I have never considered leaving this ministry. Well, one time, probably in 1987, 88, I thought about maybe I should take another job. But I've never questioned my assignment to be with Grace Ministries. But I'm telling you, there's been opportunities in this time to be offended, to have hurt feelings, to make bad decisions. Now, I want to share something. I don't know if it's ever happened to these guys, but it's happened to me more than once. Now, this is confession time, right? When you've got a calling of God on your life that you know is to bring forth the glory of God, or you know there's a calling on your life, like Pastor Jim, Pastor Sherry said, to minister to the thousands, or you've spent, you know, all day in fasting and prayer seeking God, and God gives you a word straight from heaven, and you know He's got a word that's going to really transform lives. And you come to church, you can't wait to minister, and you get behind the pulpit and you look out, and there are three people in the church. Do you follow me? Maybe you have a much bigger church, but only three showed up that night. There is the temptation, I'm just being honest, a voice says, you need to go home. If they don't appreciate it any more of this, you just ought to just pack your bags, go home, spend the night with your family, just try again next week. I've never done it. Jerry Savelle did it one time. Have you ever had that temptation? Oh, look, he's looking straight. He won't even smile. Has he ever had that temptation, Elizabeth? Yeah, she's going to be honest with us. I just had 5-2 hours. Yeah, I've never done it because inside there's a voice saying, if you bail out now, you're making a serious mistake that will have ramifications in the future. I've placed you here. It's your assignment. And God once told me one time in a service, it's not been very long ago, when almost nobody showed up, God said, if they won't come, I'll bring people that, for the word, I'll bring people that will. And God said, you do your assignment, minister love to them, the word to them, God will do the rest. I'm just telling you, there's a temptation to bail out. And here's what I want to get at. Tonight we're going to watch a clip of our first ever Grace Ministry service. And I'm running the camera, this first service. And I'm scanning the crowd. And it's difficult to find anybody in this crowd of 400 people that are still with us today. But Olivia's there. Amen. And yeah, she looks the same, right? It's hard to find people that are still with us. And in my understanding, you would have to look very hard to find a single one that was with us at one time that left that are still in faith. And Pastor Jim, or Pastor Sherry, shared this morning about how Pastor Callan was teaching us covenant at one time. We would meet at my house, and Apostle Callan would teach us covenant to a group of, at one time, there were 18 of us learning. Counting Pastor Lee, there are 8 left. And none of them have been successful in ministry since they left. Not to what God had. At least I'm not aware of any. And I don't know of anybody that's left our church that's been successful in maintaining a walk of faith. Now, this is going out and people see it may be getting mad. But a lot of people have made a wrong step, made a wrong decision that cost them in their promotional ladder. But you haven't. You refuse to quit. And I'm telling you right now, you can't afford to quit. We just read in Job 28 where this path is above the value of rubies, of gold, of anything the world has to offer. It's above that. You've got to be willing to set aside those fickle emotions and say, it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what thoughts the enemy is attacking me with. It doesn't matter whether I think Apostle Callan likes me or not. I'm not quitting. I remember when I quit my job in 93 and I went to Pastor Callan and I said, you know, God's told me to quit. He's told me I'm just supposed to volunteer for the church, doing whatever you want done. Taught algebra for 2 years. And he gave me an office right below his. There's a little landing there. There's an office to the side. He said, I want you to set up camp there. And I did. And I'm seeking God every day in the morning. I'm all I know to do. And there's a voice saying, Pastor Callan hates you. He wishes you'd never quit your job. He thinks you're an idiot. He wants you out of the church. Now, do you think that was true? No, that was Jim felt that way. I am down there 10 steps from being in front of his desk. The enemy's telling me he hates me and I'm in tears. So I went around and I said, I've got to put a stop to this. I've got to check. And I just walked in his office and said, can I speak to you? He said, no, I don't even like you. Just gonna, no. He didn't say that. And I said, the enemy's telling me that you don't want a ministry. And, you know, I've made a mistake, and I just want to make sure that I'm okay. I'm not messing up or you're disappointed. He started laughing. Of course that's a lie. Well, it broke it off. But if the enemy attacked me so hard, 10 steps away from the front of his desk, what's he trying to do in your life? What's he been doing for all these years in this ministry to try to break people off? You got to recognize that God birthed the name of this ministry. Grace Fellowship, a fellowship of love. A covenant-based ministry. And you can't listen to anything that would try to jerk you out or take you off the path. When we formed the ministry, when Pastor Kevin formed the ministry, in 1992, we started our first service with about 400 people. And of course, I thought it was going to go to 10,000 right away, just no stopping us now. And instead, a set of covenant attacks broke out in the church. Have you heard about this before? There was a list going around. I never saw the list. Nobody had the nerve to show me. They would just quote off of it. There was lists going around the church of all these atrocities being permitted and even done through the leadership of the church. I mean, several of us were sleeping around. There was one rumor that Pastor Jim and I and somebody else were all homosexually connected. We went to Ghana last week. I demanded separate rooms. Just for image sake. And although Apostle Callan had taught each of us that were, he was, had surrounding him, had taught us covenant, and we wouldn't listen to it. Well, most of us wouldn't. The church had never learned covenant. We'd never been taught it because of the denominational system we were in. That was not part of what we learned. It wouldn't have fit in anyway. And because of the attacks, all of them lies. I had somebody come to me and say, there's a list of these 10 items. I've seen it. I said, I don't think we can stay in this church. I said, they're lies. They said, they can't all be lies. I said, how many lies does it take to make the truth? They stayed with us. They're still with us. But we went from about 400 people to 200 in a matter of a few months. Because the enemy was learning to jerk people off of the path. I'm telling you, the path requires serious decisions to weigh what you're doing. To be in the high calling of God. Amen? And I don't believe he's done. But I do believe we're going to a place of spiritual maturity. He can't have any effect on us. Jesus said at the end of his ministry, Satan cometh, but he has nothing in me. There's not a button he can push, a lever he can pull to get me out of my calling. I want to be at that point if I'm not already. I feel like I've survived about every attack the enemy can bring. Amen. From Pastor Callan doesn't like me to I don't like anybody else. Never him. Keeping my not burning my bridges. But you refuse to be moved by it. And God keeps taking us through promotional step after promotional step. And then, you know, Pastor Jim was sharing, I believe it was you talking about, what was it you had to fix? I forgot the story. Well, we had to do that. You had to do that one, yeah. I have, as a pastor, I have dug up septic systems. I have put in septic systems. I was assigned a job one time to renovate a building that the bathroom was so nasty because the urinal had a hole in the bottom that the floor turned to mush full of thousands and tens of thousands of white worms about an inch long. That when you walked on the floor, it just mushed. I had to scoop the floor out. It was probably 4 inches thicker, of built-up wood. I had to scoop it out with a scoop shovel, just turn to mush, and replace and redo that whole bathroom. Yeah. I'm always reminded of the story about Pastor Jim shoveling the coal through the window and somebody rolling down their window saying, how do you like the ministry? A month ago, I had to pull the urinal on our bathroom. I would have thought I was promoted above that right now. But on God's path, there is no room for pride or thinking you're above anything. Amen. Unless you're an apostle, and if he needs urinal pulled, I'm pulling it. He's not touching it. Amen. You still with me? My screen keeps going dark on me. Psalm 23 talks about walking through the shadow, valley of the shadow of death. We'll fear no evil. You may go on some precarious paths, but know that God's got your back. Again, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It's a winding path. You know, God told Habakkuk, Ezekiel showed him the vision of the river, Ezekiel 47, that the waters kept getting deeper. And I believe God's path is like a river. It's not a straight path. Now, we're to make the path straight, meaning we're to go straight to where we're supposed to go. But God's path for you is not straight. I thought we would go straight from 400 people to 10,000. But it's been doing some winding for 25 years. And the winding is God letting you know this is not something you're going to do logically. You can do by your own effort. You need the Spirit of God to show you where the next bend of the river is, or the next step on the path. And I have the honor and excitement of every day when I get up not knowing what the day is going to offer. I do not have a predictable life, do you? I mean, I've had few times in my life of enough adrenaline rush as I did last week riding in traffic in Accra, Ghana. Amen. That will put you in warring tongues right away. But every day we get to wake up and say, God, I don't know what's next on the path. You show me far, but I don't know what's next on the path. What do you have for me today? And if you follow that leading, he's got a path he's going to get you on that's going to take you where you never thought you could be. I never dreamed in my life I could speak in front of more than 3 people at one time because I was so afraid of public speaking. But God, do you follow me? Much less Christians that know the word to speak in front of them. But God. And then to see healings and miracles and the anointing manifest. But God. But it requires that determination. I'm not going to make a wrong decision. We have a mentality within the church. We have a mentality in much of Christianity that you can make wrong decisions all the time. Just know that God loves you. Just know you're under grace. Some people have taken it to the place, you know, you can sin willfully and it's okay. Know that God loves you. But a lot of Christians think, well, I go to whatever church I want to. I can read or pray when I want to. You know, I can follow leading the Spirit when it seems convenient or logical. They think they're going to go into the high calling of God. I don't believe that. I believe the high calling of God requires, to the highest level you can, being precise with your obedience unto God. Knowing that leading so well that you can go where he wants to take you. The word path in the Hebrew is the word, I can't even pronounce it, N-A-T-H-I-Y-B. And of course, I was raised on the farm, and when I think of paths, I think of cow paths. Anybody know what I'm speaking about, cow paths? We'd walk through the fields, you'd always follow a cow path because you could see the rattlesnakes on the path. We'd follow the paths usually. But the word path in the Hebrew that's used many times is a word that means to trample down a path. In other words, you're making a path. And I believe where God's taking us, nobody's ever gone before. No church has ever gone before. I don't believe you can read anybody's commentary or how-to manual to get there. In fact, we as ministers, we as a ministry, find it very difficult to find books we can read that build us where we want to go. We've got it. We search out, Pastor Callan will tell you, he searches out books and messages by people that are going where we want to go. Then you have to listen to it and find what can really apply to us or that appeals to us or speaks to us to enact in our lives. Because we're going. His end time bride is going where nobody's ever gone before. We've got to be very precise in what we apply in our lives to get there. We can't afford to become lethargic, lackadaisical, or carefree about staying on the path. Amen? And I believe God's calling us to an all-in time that we're to be dedicated to this thing without exception. Job chapter 24. Job 24, I want to go to verse number 13. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. There's a path God has for you that light lays out. Now I'm telling you, we just did a minister's conference, and I'm convinced, I'm just going to guess at some percentages, but I'm going to guess that 95% of pastors in America, and probably worldwide, don't know how to follow the light to be on the path. They follow a building program. They build a political agenda to build a church. They do fundraisers. They appeal to men's flesh to build a big ministry. It becomes more of a business culture than it does a spiritual, anointed representation of the path of God. Did you follow that? And I would venture to say less than 5% of pastors, I believe it's really far below that, really know how to hear God and stay on the path that the light provides. Because logic will always run contrary. In other words, man's effort of logic without the Word of God will always run contrary to God's way of doing things. You know, man says, hey, let's do a fundraiser to build this. God says, sow a seed to build this. Right? And I'm telling you, most churches live by fundraisers and fundraising more than they do seed and faith. So we've got all these churches that are trying to fulfill an assignment they hope is of God, doing it all by men's intellect, by men's effort, by natural activity. And I'm telling you, there's no way they're going to manifest the glory of God. Not without God's mercy overflowing them. But God's got a people. Pastor Lee was one of them. One of us. This is, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to trust God all the way. I'm going to apply spiritual principles to the best of my knowledge and ability. And trust God to take me into that high calling and keep me on that path. Because those that rebel against the light, what does it mean to rebel against the light? What's the light? It's a revelation of the Word. It's the illumination the Spirit of God brings. Those who rebel against the Spirit of God's leading or rebel against the precepts of the Word of God, it says they miss the path. And there's a tendency, there's a temptation among Christians, among ministers, to look at a big church and say, well, how do they get to be so big? What do they do? Can we apply that? When, if you study the minister's life, you might find that they don't even believe the Word of God to be any more than a philosophical set of recommendations. They're not in faith. They're not sowing for it. They're just doing fundraisers and building programs. User-friendly churches to get multitudes to come in. But we're not assigned to do it that way. We're called to do it by the anointing and by staying on the path of light. And I personally, not saying I've done it perfect, but I don't know of a single area I've ever rebelled against the light. I've made some mistakes where I misunderstood the light or misapplied it, but never rebelled against it. And if you will choose to stay on the path by following the leading of the Spirit every day to the best you can, God's going to have you on that path. But it's going to run contrary to natural thinking. It's not going to seem reasonable or logical to you. Why am I sowing the seed? I can't even afford to pay the phone bill. You know, why am I going to church again? I've got other responsibilities. But what are you doing? You're following the leading of the Spirit. You're staying on that path. Now, Ephesians chapter 5. In March of 1992, I was in a church service on a Saturday night at our church, Pastor Callahan's church. And I'm in the middle of praise and worship, and the Lord speaks to me, and it goes through every cell of my being. He says, quit your job or you'll die. I would like to be called of God like that. That was all He said, and I knew it was God. It went through every part of me. And I knew what He meant. At the time, I was doing everything I knew to be involved in ministry, but I was working full-time at the same time, and God said, if you keep this up, you're going to burn out. So I went home and told my wife. I said, you know, God said this. In fact, it wasn't quite like that. I went home, and Patty had not gone to church that night, and so I got home, and we speak, you know, end up going to bed, and I said, Lord, Patty, I need to speak to you about something. God spoke to me tonight. She said, He told you to quit your job, didn't He? She'd already heard Pastor Jim's testimony and, you know, the others. And I said, yes. And it took maybe a few hours. And she said, I guess that will be okay. And, of course, I ran up past the apostle. I didn't do it like Pastor Jim did and said, God told me to quit your job. That's all I got to say. Bye. I said, if I've missed it, you let me know. Hoping. My wife was praying, but He said that would be okay. That decision to quit my job, which was a very good job at the time, was one of the easiest decisions I've ever made in ministry to stay on the path. That was a key decision to stay on the path with God. Do you follow me? I could have rebelled against it. God spoke to me. That was one of the easiest decisions I made. Why? Because I heard clearly God say this. But a lot of the harder decisions stay on a path where, are you going to be offended over that? Do you follow me? Are you really going to sow that? Are you going to stomp home when people didn't come to church? Are you going to pout over what somebody said about you? Do you see? These become more difficult decisions than the one God spoke clearly to because you're just relying on what the Word said. Or the gentle leading of the Spirit of God. But they're all vital, as vital to stay on the path. And so many people have left because it wasn't done in their logical fashion or didn't appeal to their emotions. We know the leading of the Spirit, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, right? For her. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. God's going to present the bride to Himself as a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God is raising up a glorious bride. I'm of the opinion the entire church is not the bride of Christ. Do you follow me? A lot of people, and if the apostle says it's the whole church, I submit. But my study of the Word lets me know the whole church is not the bride. He gave Himself for the whole church. But the whole church is not going into the glory of God, at least not right away. I believe they'll partake of it, but not be one that ushers it forth. Because if we go on over to Revelation, go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Who's the Lamb? Jesus, right? And His wife hath made herself ready. Now listen, when you received Jesus Christ as Savior, He made you ready for heaven. But here's talking about the bride is making herself ready for the marriage. And I don't believe most of the church is making themselves ready. Only those that stay on the path. And the glory is for the bride that we're going to manifest on this earth. The glory is for the ones that are really following the leading of the Spirit into His fullness. And they're not concerned about the size of the church as much as they are the maturity that developed themselves. And I'm telling you, God's raising up a warrior army. Now, I saw a movie years ago. I'm going to say the name of it. Nobody get mad at me because it's really not a wholesome movie, but it was educational. But years ago, several years back, there came a movie out called The 300. Anybody ever seen The 300? Okay, we'll have a repentance service after. The 300 about, it's based on a true story about the 300 Spartans that fought off the entire Persian army. And as they're getting ready to go to battle, is it Theopolis? I forget his name. The leader of the 300 Spartans, Leonidas. You saw it. He's a military guy. He has an excuse. The leader of the 300. Other Greeks are coming up saying, "We want to fight with you. We want to be part of your army." And he looks at him and he says, "You right there, what do you do for a living?" And the guy says, "I'm a farmer." He points to another and says, "What do you do for a living?" I run a store. And he points to several and they're all saying, "I have this profession, you know, I'm a blacksmith, whatever." And then he says to his guys, he points to one and he says, "What do you do for a living?" He goes, "War." Points to another, "What do you do for a living?" "War." He said, "Apparently, you guys don't have any soldiers. And that's all I have." And he sends them all home. And when they show the battle, you see the effectiveness of this 300 to fight off an entire world's largest military force until they're betrayed. Because they were professionals at what they did. It's not how many you have in your army. It's how equipped they are to win the battle. And I'm telling you, God's raised up a set of warriors in His ministry who will not quit. Amen? And I'm proud to be connected. I overflow with pride to know Pastor Lee Fields was my covenant brother and friend. But I feel the same way about each of you. That God's raised us up to manifest God's end time glory to fill this earth. Amen? There's a necessity, though, we keep making right decisions. Been blessed by it? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to take up an offering.